If you open your Bibles with me to Matthew 28, we're going to be reading the first 8 verses. You will see there in your bulletin there are many scriptures that we're going to be referring to, and so I encourage you to look with me, particularly to those where there's more than one verse. They're all there for your study and for your meditation. Resurrection is something that isn't just mentioned once in the Bible or twice. It's mentioned all throughout the Bible. And I'm so thankful for that. Every time you open this word, there's life. There's risen life in the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, what a wonderful privilege to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. We thank you again for the fact that you are the risen Lord, that you sit at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, Lord. I don't pretend to know what my brothers and sisters are going through, but Lord, I know that you are the answer to every situation. And so I pray that in the reading, in the preaching, and in the teaching of your word this morning, there would be life, and life abundant. Lord, that there would be healing, there would be strengthening, there would be encouragement, there would be exhortation. Lord, whatever you desire to do in each one of us, you know the need of my heart and the need of my brothers and sisters' hearts this morning. So I pray that you would have your way. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to illuminate the word for us, to open our hearts, to teach us this morning, that we might know you in a fuller way even this morning. We thank you, and we're careful to give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 28, beginning at the first verse. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Both the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection were earth-shaking events. And that's what I really want us to dwell on. How many of you realize that your salvation is an earth-shaking event? And I'll explain that further along when we know what the word earth-shaking means because of Webster's dictionary. Love, Daniel Webster. I want you to turn back in your Bibles to, some of you don't need to turn back, but it's on chapter 27, verse 50. And we're going to return to the cross for a moment. We know the cross is empty, but some things took place on that day on the cross 3 days earlier that we really need to look at again. Matthew 27, beginning at the 50th verse. "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" We already read it as resurrection. There was an earthquake. And I believe that in the physical world, these two things, These two earthquakes were some of the greatest events in the world's history because it was the earth itself that was reacting to the cross. It was the earth that was reacting to his resurrection. And we don't often think of it that way, but the earth continues to await his return. Turn in your Bibles with me. Keep your finger, well, wherever you keep it, if you need to stay there. Romans 8. Romans 8, 19 through 22. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. When we look out at what's happening with spring and the flowers blooming and everything that's going on, at the same time, we see trees that are dead. We see trees with vines that are coming up. And I often wonder why people haven't removed the vines, but I guess they come up so quickly and they just choke the tree to death. You see, at the fall, all of creation reacted to the sin of man. And it happened that it reacted at his death, reacted as at his resurrection, and it is reacting now, awaiting his return. The next time you go out and look about, think about that. In fact, Isaiah 65, 17 says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Now, he's talking about creation there. Are you aware that when he creates the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no weeds, no thorns? It'll be perfect as it was when he created it at the beginning. And it'll be even more glorious. Turn with me to Revelations 21, 1 through 5. Let the scriptures speak to you this morning. John had this vision. Revelations 21, beginning at the first verse. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5, and then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. How many of you are looking forward to the day when he's going to make all things new? There's some of the old things that are going on right now that are problematic in our lives, aren't they? For those of you who garden, there are weeds. For those of you who have to deal with the elements, which are beautiful, but you have to deal with them, the heat, the cold. But I believe that when this new heaven and new earth comes, it'll be beautiful climate throughout eternity. And I say that because we'll be in the presence of the Creator of this world, who sustains all things, who makes all things new. Well, I want to go back to the cross, the first of the two earthquakes. And it's an incredible moment. In fact, when I get to heaven, I want to find some of these people that rose from the grave and ask them, what was that like? I just want to pause here for a minute. Remember we talked about Lazarus, and he was a foreshadowing of the power of the resurrection, that there can be resurrected life. He rose from the dead, and many people believed in Jesus because of what? Seeing Lazarus raised from the dead. And it happened the week before, so it was a foreshadowing. Well, here we have an immediate foreshadowing. The centurion who oversaw the crucifixion, he looked up. Jesus had yielded up his spirit. That afternoon, from 3 in the afternoon till 6 in the evening, it was totally dark on this earth. All of creation reacting to the crucifixion. Jesus was bleeding on the cross, and when he breathed his last, there was an earthquake, an earth-shaking moment for the centurion and for the soldiers. Remember what we read back there in Matthew 27? So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. And notice it says they. We always think of the centurion. But it says they. Those soldiers who had crucified the Lord, those soldiers who had mocked him, those soldiers who had beaten him, those soldiers who had placed the crown of thorns on his head and put a robe on him, put a reed in his hand and mocked him as the King of the Jews. At this moment, when the earth shakes, they say, truly, this was the Son of God. Webster's dictionary says this about the word earth-shaking. The first word, it says imperiling, which means it's like dangerous, right? If you've ever been in an earthquake, it is not a fun thing. But listen to what he says about the rest of earth-shaking. Challenging or affecting basic beliefs, attitudes, relationships, etc. That was an earth-shaking moment for those soldiers. They were challenged. Their basic beliefs. Think about what they were doing. They, you know, I don't know if they even believed that Jesus was an innocent man. They probably didn't even care. But they did all of that torturing and that crucifying of him. And in this moment of the earthquake, and it was an earth-shaking moment, they completely had a change of attitude, a change of beliefs. Truly, this was the Son of God. The physical earth reacts. Look back there to verse 51 of 27. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. The veil, as all of you most likely know, it was the veil that had been constructed in the tabernacle and then in the temple in Jerusalem. It was what separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Once a year, the high priest would go beyond that veil into the Holy of Holies. In fact, they had a rope tied to his leg in case he got struck dead in there. This happened. The earthquake came the moment that Jesus expired on the cross. That veil was rent in two. The Day of Atonement that has been prophesied through all those years, through the tabernacle and through the temple, and what the high priest did by going in there, Jesus ended that because he was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. No more animal sacrifice. The moment he dies on the cross, the veil is rent in two. Earthquake probably helped that. The rocks were split. The new and the perfect had come, and all and the beliefs of all men and women, young and old, were affected. On that day, religion was challenged, and relationship became the important thing between man and God. You notice even in that verse it says at the end, and the rocks were split. And I remind us of that moment on Palm Sunday. Remember when the crowd was worshiping Jesus? And the Pharisees said to him, Rabbi, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, even if they didn't cry out, these stones would cry out. Remember we said that stones are the hardest thing there is in creation. And those same stones that would have cried out when he died on the cross, they split. They opened wide open. And Jesus' death foreshadowed his resurrection. Verses 52 and 53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. What a moment. Resurrection foreshadowed 3 days before Jesus rose from the grave. What a hallelujah to salvation. What a hallelujah to the coming resurrection. In all of the history of the world, there's been no greater demonstration of salvation's power. Now, I want to be careful how I say that. In the physical earth, when Jesus died on the cross, the earthquake was such an earthquake that the graves were opened and people came out and went into the city. His redeeming blood has cleansed us of our sin. Death no longer holds sway over us. That's what that declaration was. He dies on the cross and people rose from the dead. Death could not hold them. The grave could not hold them. Satan, the author and promoter of death, had been vanquished. I can just imagine what Satan, when he saw what was going on there when Jesus died on the cross, he thought he was going to end everything, didn't he? He's the one who killed Christ, right? He used men to do it. But in that moment, God let him know that Jesus' death on the cross would lead to risen life. The earth shook, graves opened, saints came forth, resurrection foreshadowed. So that's back at the cross. And I had to take us back there because what a moment that was. And now we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, and I want you to look in our text, and let's read verse 1 and 2 again. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Behold, there was a great earthquake. In the Gospel of Luke and Mark, I think it's in Luke, They were coming to the tomb, and as they were coming, there was something they hadn't thought about. And they said, "Whoa, who's going to roll the stone away from the grave?" Because they were coming with spices to anoint his body. It's almost like they were trying to preserve the Lord Jesus at that moment. I don't know what a body is like after 3 days in the grave, but they were going to go in and they were going to anoint him with spices. All the thoughts that they must have had, they were thinking of the Lord's body lying dead in that tomb. Can you just hear them talking to one another, realizing that they hadn't thought about the stone? You ever have that happen in your life where you're going to go do something and there's some obstacle that you hadn't thought of and you go, "Oh my goodness." That had to be an incredible moment for them when they arrived there. You see, they didn't remember what he had said, that he would rise from the dead on the third day. And our text tells us there in verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake. Once again, all of creation reacted at his death on the cross, and they react at the resurrection at the tomb. It says a great earthquake. At that very moment, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. And again, the earth was shaking. Could it be that it was shaking with joy because the Creator had risen from the grave? We are told in Isaiah 55:12 these prophetic words about worship and praise. It says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace." Anybody know what the next part says? "The mountains and the hills shall break forth into song, singing before you, and the trees of their fields will do what? Clap their hands." Let's do that. Can you imagine the trees clapping their hands? Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 98. I was just going to read two verses, but it's a short psalm, and I just want to... It's such a song of praise, and creation is brought into it as well. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. This is prophetic, isn't it? The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with a harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord. And look at verse 7 and 8. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. That's a future time, isn't it? The first time he came with grace and mercy, but he comes to judge. But all of creation is awaiting that return. In our text, it's an angel of the Lord that is also witnessing all of the response of nature at the resurrection of the Lord. And I'm reminded of Peter's words about our salvation. And he writes what the prophet said about angels. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:12, he says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which have been reported to you through those that have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. The last part of that verse, things which angels desire to look into. There's this angel, his countenance is like lightning. His robe is shining white, and he's sitting on the gravestone, and he longs to look into what's happening. Because they don't understand salvation. They don't understand that they are messengers who are obedient to the Lord. And so he is sitting on the tombstone, countenance like lightning, clothing as white as snow. Notice the reaction of the guards there in our text. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. I believe this earthquake was would have made any of us frightened, wouldn't it? We would have been scared. And an angel whose face is like just gleaming and shining bright, and they fell like dead men. There was a reason for that. If we read over in Matthew, we know that they went and told what had happened, and they were paid to lie about the resurrection. And the disciples had come and stolen the body of Jesus. And it says here in Matthew that story was proclaimed even to this day, meaning the day when it was written. But now look at what the angel says to the women. Verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear, but also with great joy, and ran to bring his disciples the word. Quickly, with great joy, they ran to bring the disciples the news. I just want to spend some time now with some application here, and I'm going to let Scripture apply this to your life and mine. It won't be my words, even though I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to help me comment if it's necessary on them. But the first question I have is, how do we react to the glorious earth-shaking news of the resurrection of Christ? And we just worshiped him. And if I'd asked that question and then we had worshiped, I would imagine after hearing these earth-shaking things that went on, maybe our praise would have been even more than it was. But here's the thing. How do we react to this glorious earth-shaking news? What actions do we take? The women, they went out quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to the disciples with the news. I don't know why, but I don't envision women back in those days doing a lot of running. Like we go out now and there's jogging going on and women are running all over the place. But they were running. This news was so precious to them that they couldn't wait to get there. What actions do we take having the knowledge of his resurrection? Turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians 2:12. We're going to look at three scriptures in closing. Colossians 2. These are in your bulletin if you don't have your Bible. And I just encourage you to really, if you do nothing else in the coming days, please go to these verses and meditate on them. Colossians 2 and verse 12 tells us that we were buried with him in baptism, in which we also were raised with him. I'm including us here. Which we also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. This is what has happened for us. This is what we have received. We have received the privilege of being raised with him from the dead. But I want you to notice what it says in this verse. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. It's not by works, lest any man should glory. It's all faith. It's all his work. It's all his grace. It's all his mercy. He is the one who has accomplished this in your life and mine. We did nothing to deserve it. It's by faith in his working. God raised the Lord from the dead. And through him, through his death on the cross, and through the power of his resurrection, you and I have risen to new life. We could not have accomplished it on our own. There's a lot of people trying to do that, aren't there? But you and I have the great blessing of having the work of God doing all of this, and he simply asks us to believe, all right? So that's where we start. So it's his work in us. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean that we do? He works it in us. Do we just lay back and let him work? Turn in Romans 6, verse 4. This is a bit of a repetition of Colossians verse that we just read, but listen to what it says. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, here's what we are to be doing. Even so, we also should walk in what? In newness of life. See, he's done all the work, and all he asks us to do is to walk in the works that he has for us, the works that were created beforehand, as it says in Ephesians. So we are to walk in newness of life. There are days when I feel like I'm walking in oldness of life. And I'm not just talking about the physical thing. When I get out of bed in the morning, everything kind of hurts, and I do look like I'm 95 when I'm getting up and getting dressed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But sometimes we walk in our lives, we walk in a, just like, really, walking dead. I have a sad face, all right? And my wife tells me often, says, Michael, you're representing the Lord. And I have an excuse. I said I was born with a sad face. My mouth turns down. I have these creases here now that make it. But you know what I'm saying? We are to walk in newness of life. We are to walk like risen people. Amen? We're to be joyful. Now, I'm not talking about walking around with a little silly smile on your face. And, you know, somebody asks you, how are you doing? Fine. I'm just really good. When you're not. We sang a song earlier, didn't we? We sang Man of Sorrows. Jesus, there are times when we are sorrowful, but be sorrowful in Christ. Okay? Be sorrowful and don't stay sorrowful because you know the hope that you have in Him. And therefore we are to walk in newness of life. So He's done all the work, right? Now He just says, this is the way, walk in it. And that's our responsibility to do that. The third thing, the question I have for us, well, how do we do this? How do we maintain this walk? How many of you are aware that the Christian life has to have maintenance? The physical life, if you let yourself go and you don't exercise, you find out you're going to suffer for that, right? Our physical bodies need maintenance. We have doctors that help us with that. We have the Lord Jesus who sometimes heals us as well. We have to exercise. We have to take care of that part. Sometimes I fear that we take more care of our physical body than we do of our spiritual. And so turn in your Bibles with me, and here's the answer back in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to close with this verse, and this is the challenge, all right? These are the things that you have to do in order to walk in newness of life. And I think every one of us knows these things already. We are so familiar with these first two verses of Colossians 3. But my question for you and for me, are we living these two verses? If then you were raised with Christ. How many of you have been raised with Christ? If you have been raised with Christ, all right, you can't do this unless you've been raised with Christ. All right, this is for the believer. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Let me stop here a minute. That's about prayer, isn't it? Prayer is a big part of that. Worship is a big part of that. But we are to seek those things that are above. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. You can't walk in newness of life unless you truly believe in your heart that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He has died on the cross, defeated Satan on the cross. He rose from the grave. He spent 40 days walking here on the earth with appearing to 500 people at once and to His disciples and others. But He has ascended into heaven, and He sits at the right hand of Father God, and He intercedes for you and for me. He's in the position of complete victory over the enemy of our souls, all right? And so as we walk, we need to seek Him, all right? You with me? We need to seek Him through prayer, through the Word, through fellowship, encouraging one another, exhorting one another. All right? But look at what it says in verse 2, and we'll close with that. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. I think this is one of the most incredibly difficult words for us to hear. How many of us have issues and problems in our days here on the earth, and our minds can get so consumed with those things? And what Paul is saying here, set your mind on things above. Can I tell you what he means by that? At least it's what it means to me. If I set my mind on things above, then the things I do here on this earth will be much betterly, much better done. Okay? It is so easy, listen to me carefully, it is so easy to get caught up, and I know it, and I know every one of you know this personally. It's so easy to get caught up on the things on this earth, the work, problems, all right? And if you stay there immersed in that and you don't set your mind on the fact that Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you when you're having those issues here on the earth, and He will give us what? Strength. He'll give us courage. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us discernment. We have the Holy Spirit that He sent into the world to do these things for us. And so my challenge for you on Resurrection Sunday on 2016 is to begin to walk in newness of life and to set your mind on things above. Look into the face of Jesus, and what does it say? The things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. There are days when I wish things on the earth would grow really dim. You know? And they will, because it's a change of focus. It's a mindset that now enables me to walk in victory each and every day of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the resurrection. Lord, we thank You for the earth-shaking news. We thank You for the fact that creation even shows us. Lord, we are living in times when there are earthquakes and there are all kinds of things going on this planet. And I know in my heart it's because they're groaning for Your return. And Lord, we long for Your return. Just as the women came to the tomb and they longed, or they wished that You were not dead, but You were alive. And what did they do? They ran. They ran. They quickly got up and ran to declare the news. And so I pray, Lord, that in this, I don't know why I'm saying in this new year, but in this new year of resurrection, having celebrated Resurrection Sunday, I pray that we would be living our lives, walking in newness of life, setting our mind on things above and not on the things of the earth, knowing that You have done all the work and You will do all the work through us as we yield our lives to You and as we follow You and are obedient to You. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the cross, and we thank You for the resurrection, and we thank You for the fact that You have ascended into heaven, and even at this moment, You know every issue and every heart in this room. And You're interceding with the Father for each and every person, Lord. We thank You for that. We bless You. We praise You, and we give You all the honor and the glory. You alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.